Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. Let me read verse 26 and 27 of that 32nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Verse 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. Normally, the word Lord, reference to God in the Old Testament, is set forth Jehovah, Jehovah God. And that's the, seems to carry with it the idea of his personality, his holiness, faithfulness, his beauty and glory. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah, the God of all flesh. All flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Anything? Can you think of anything that is too hard for me to accomplish? Now, there is a method of asking questions to a person in order to teach him, in order that he might be instructed. If you remember, over in the book of Job, God asked Job some questions. And the object of asking the questions to Job was the same as it was with Jeremiah, that he might teach or instruct Job, enlighten Job, and Jeremiah as well. There in that 40th chapter of the book of Job, where it says in verse 6, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Will you render my judgment null and void? Wilt thou condemn me? These are questions asked by God unto his servant Job. Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. That is, if you can do all this, Job, then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. So the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind with a series of questions. And here he says, is anything too hard for me? Now this question here asked Isaiah after he stated who he was, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Now, is anything too hard for me? This is the strongest way of saying nothing is too hard for me. There's nothing that's too hard for me. It proclaims heaven and hell and the earth to produce a difficulty which is too perplex for the God of all flesh. He in defiance challenges everything to produce something that would be a problem for him. Now it was needful, necessary, to tell the prophet this, although the prophet knew it. And you know it. You know in your head this morning that there's nothing too hard for God. Just as Jeremiah knew it. He knew it in his head that there was nothing too hard for God. But he drives this truth home into the mind of the prophet. And this prophet was a faithful servant of the Most High God, just as Job was highly favored by God. God said about Job, he's a just man. He's the most just man upon all the earth is Job. But yet Job knew that God could do all things. And he asked Job a series of questions pertaining to his limitations. "You render my judgments null and void?" And he asked Jeremiah here, "Is anything too hard for me?" He drives home this truth unto the mind of the prophet. And the Bible says in the New Testament that all God's children shall be taught of the Lord. Now, we learn much in many ways, but we learn nothing vitally and real and practically until God Himself teaches us. It's only when God makes the truth come home to our mind and to our hearts that it does us any good. Jeremiah knew this truth. He knew the truth. In verse 27, "Behold, I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying this, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" He knew this. Look over there in verse 17. He knew this truth in his inmost soul. Verse 17. Now he's praying here. Jeremiah's praying unto the God of all flesh, the true and the living God. And he says he had made a transaction here, a business deal that God had told him to make, to buy a piece of land from his uncle, and he had made the transaction and bought the land, but yet he did it on the insistence of God. And after he bought the land, he had reservations about whether he done right or not. And so he prays unto God here. Although God had led him in all this and directed him in all the dealings here, and he had went about it, had the deed and had it sealed and all of that, but yet he had some reservations. And he says in verse 17, in his prayer unto God. What I'm trying to emphasize is that Jeremiah knew that there was nothing too hard for the Lord. He knew that to a measure. He had it in his head. He had it in his creed. We have it in our creed, all of us. As a matter of fact, if someone came along and told us that there was something somewhere that was too hard for God, we would be indignant and express maybe even anger against that fellow for making such a statement like that. But yet every day we act like that truth that we have in our head does not apply to us practically in everyday use. So he's going to burn it into his heart. Is anything too hard for me? He knew that. Verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. Now, if we believe that, if we just believe that, that ought to suffice us. That God made the heaven and earth by His great power and stretched out arm. And He said, there's nothing too hard for thee. He knew this truth. He knew it down in his soul. He knew it in his head. Yet the Lord God Almighty saw it necessary and needful to give him a spatial revelation of this truth to impress him more fully in his heart, to make it real to him, that he might trust God and glorify God in doing so. You see, it's one thing to know that such a doctrine is true, but it's quite another thing to know the truth itself. It's one thing to believe and to know that there is a covenant God, that there is a God of election. It's one thing to know that God has said, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. But for us to practically, in everyday use, have this burned into our hearts, it's when we have trials and troubles and tribulations and difficulties, we find out that our highest thoughts of God don't amount to much. Because we don't trust Him like we ought to. Is there anything too hard for me? We need to be persuaded of it. We need to embrace this, that there's nothing too hard for God. We put it in our creed, but disregard it for everyday use. Jeremiah knew this truth, and he knew it well enough to plead it in his prayer. And he said, God, you made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for thee. Well, when he says, behold, I am the Lord, is there anything too hard for me? His argument here, God's argument in regard to us and Jeremiah and Job, completely trusting Him, His argument, God's argument is final and it's decisive. There's no question about it. You notice that Jeremiah in verse 17 drew his argument from what the Lord had done. He says, "Behold, you've made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm." So he makes his argument, there's nothing too hard from God, by what God had done. That's the argument that he makes. That's as far as he came. I know that there's nothing too hard for you because of what you've done. You've made the heaven and the earth by your power and stretched out arm. I know there's nothing too hard for him. Jeremiah draws his argument from creation. God created the world out of nothing. There wasn't anything there. He spoke and it came about. He said, "Light, let there be light," and there was light. And he draws his argument from creation. And that's a good argument. But God, God didn't draw his argument from creation. He didn't refer to creation. He said, "I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The God that made heaven and earth and all things therein, can there be anything that could be possible to be too hard for God to do? Jeremiah gets this from the mouth of God Himself. God doesn't draw it from creation. He doesn't draw His argument from creation. He said, "See what I done? I made heaven and earth." But He gets it. Jeremiah gets it right from the mouth of God, right from the lips of God. Nothing too hard for me. The God who made heaven and earth without help can surely do as He pleases. He made the mountains, He made the oceans, He made the seas, He made the skies, He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. What is there that He cannot do? That's the question. God does not point to creation or any of His works. He speaks of Himself, not to creation, not to His power. He speaks of Himself alone. He made all this. He can do anything. All that we see in the vast, inconceivable, unimaginable mysteries of this universe, He's the source of it all. It all come from Him. Oh, that you and I this morning, that this truth might be burnt into our innermost souls, that we might look to Him and Him alone by the help of His Spirit, and realize that there can be nothing too hard for our God. Oh, what poor, weak, and feeble notions we have of the God of glory. We think we magnify Him at times when we talk about wanting to honor and to glorify and to exalt the name of God. We think we magnify Him, but in reality, now listen to me, after all, we're just people. We're just men and women. When we think we're magnifying Him and honoring Him in our highest thoughts, we belittle who he really is. His real honor and his real glory, his real majesty. Just think of this for a little bit. He who made the heavens and the earth. He made it all by himself. He didn't ask the angels to help him. He made the angels. He doesn't need any help. Does it by himself. Nothing too hard for the great and glorious God, the Creator and the Preserver. He has all power in heaven and earth. And the argument that he uses doesn't come from creation, but it comes from his own mouth. I am Jehovah. I am God. And this argument here is founded and based and grounded upon who he is, on his own name, Jehovah God. Oh, listen to me here this morning. Those, and there are many in our world today, and we hear about them through the newspaper and through the television and other means of communication. And this seems to be par for the course. Many are they who say there is no God. They say there is no God. Some of them are forced to admit that there is a controlling force somewhere in the heavens. They're forced to admit that. A power which makes for righteousness. They say there must be some impersonal force of power somewhere. And they talk of this impersonal something. But the Bible does not speak of any impersonal power or force, but it speaks of a living God. A true and a living God. I cannot trust a impersonal force. I cannot call a impersonal force my Father which art in heaven. No. A man that has no personal God has no God at all. He has no God at all. None whatsoever. I believe that the Bible teaches, and I know in my soul, I know in my heart, I know that God is a person. He has a conscience. He's a thinking God. He's a acting person and personality. I am the Lord. His name in itself implies self-existence. God does not exist because of his surroundings, the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. He derives no support, no aid from any of these. It's all in himself, the true and the living God. The Bible says and teaches that all that's outside of himself is created by himself. All things were made by him and for him. He sustains all things by the word of his blessed power. His name is Jehovah. His name is higher than the heavens, deeper than hell, and broader than space. He's God Almighty, and there's nothing too hard for God. His name indicates that he is immutable. That is, I am that I am. Time does not affect him. Time does not change him. He always is as He always was. And He always will be what He always was. He never changes. Time does not affect Him. Situations or circumstances do not change Him or affect Him. He's always God. Notice something else He says about Himself here. He said, I am the God of all flesh. Behold, I'm the Lord. I'm the God of all flesh. All flesh. There is no other God for man anywhere or at any time save this God of the Bible, Jehovah. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. No other God. No other God. Now they talk about the heathens have their gods. The heathens, they have no God. Their gods is idols. They're not gods. There's only one God, the true and living God. He's the God of all flesh. I'm the God of all flesh, He tells Jeremiah. I'm the God of all flesh. There's no other God. There's no room for another God. I fill all things. I'm the God of all flesh. One true God, one living God of all flesh, and there can't be any other. He's the God of all flesh. It's He who made us and not we of ourselves. He did not come into, or we did not come into being by chance or evolve from something into being. The majority of the world, religious and otherwise, believes this morning in the theory of evolution. They have been driven to believe that we evolved from something and made progress to the state that we're in. Oh no. He's the God of all flesh. We didn't make ourselves. He made us. God made us. And He's the God of all flesh. And we rejoice that all flesh have such a God as this. His sovereign power, and without our aid, made us of clay. And formed us, men and women and boys and girls. Is anything too hard for Him? Notice that before the Lord, before Jehovah God, men are only flesh. They're only flesh. The best of men are only flesh. Now, we hear about great men. They say they're great men. Newspapers and history books. Conversation is filled with expressions like that. He's a great man. She's a great woman. Great. They have light, knowledge, excellent learning. But I see these great ones, read about them. I see them being carried out with all the pomp that the funeral home can arrange. I see their mourners following along, crying. This man has died with all of his learning, and I see him being carried out and taken on the hillside and laid in a home, the home of worms. Put him in the grave where worms live. That's how great he is. Listen to me. All flesh is as grass, the Bible says. all flesh is as grass, is to be cut down, Bob, and it withereth. God, over all and above all, there's none besides Him, the true and the living God. Nothing too hard for Him. Nothing. Salvation is not a hard thing for God. We think it is, but it's not. Can you, in your judgment, find anybody beyond the range of the mercy of God, beyond the bounds of the grace of God? Can you find one? You say you've got a wicked brother, or a wicked sister, a wicked father, a wicked mother, a wicked son, or a wicked daughter. Oh, they're beyond the range. No, they're not beyond the range of the power of God Almighty. They're not beyond His range. There's nothing too hard for God. Oh, I think sometimes as I pray and say, well, I'm just beating the air. I'm just wasting time. It's just maybe a waste of time. Nothing's gonna take place. God hears me, but it's just maybe it's not His will. I don't know. When I begin to fall back, but when I'm made to think this, my brethren and sisters, when this is burned into my heart here, that there's nothing too hard. Salvation is not a hard thing for Him. He wills it, and it's done. He wills it, and it's so. He said, let there be light. My God, this whole universe lit up. Huh? He can say to a dead sinner, live. And that dead sinner can live. Jeremiah said, can these bones live? Can they live? There's wasn't even scattered, wasn't even in a pile, scattered out in the field. Jeremiah said, can these bones live? God said, live, and they lived, took on flesh and muscle. Nothing too hard for God, are they? Sometimes I think it's too hard for God for Him to do something for me in the realm of salvation and my loved ones and friends. Not too hard for Him. Made the heavens and made the earth and all things therein, and solicited no aid or support from anybody, not even the angels. Did it by Himself, alone by Himself. He reminds me of that when He says to Jeremiah, I'm the God of all flesh. There's no other God but me. Huh? Nothing too hard for me. What about that thief? There's a thief there in the New Testament. Been a thief all of his life. He's a hardened criminal. Not only was he a thief in action, but he was totally depraved from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. There wasn't a sound spot in him. Never had no thoughts of God or God's Son. Knew nothing of the gospel. Knew nothing of the way of righteousness. But our Lord Jesus Christ worked a work in his soul. Our Lord didn't even have to look at him. And He worked something in his soul and caused him to cry out, saying, Lord, have mercy on me when Thou comest into your kingdom. Lord, remember me. Just think of me. My God, it's a trophy of grace, wasn't it? Nothing too hard for the Lord. There's Saul of Tarsus. Killed the Christians, many of them as he could, killed them and had them put in jail. Wrought havoc among the believers. Wouldn't leave them go. Was determined to cause the name of God to die, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be blacked out. God unhorsed him. He wasn't looking for God when God saved him. He wasn't seeking God. He was seeking people to put in jail who believed on the name of God's Son, and God unhorsed him. He didn't turn to God. He didn't make a decision. God had made a decision before time ever was. And in God's time, God unhorsed him. And he cried out. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Nothing too hard for God. Take courage. Man may be a blasphemer, a thief, adulterer, and adulteress. He may be a desperate, loathsome drunkard. He may be a dope fiend. He may be addicted to this and addicted to that. Nothing's too hard for God. Huh? Can you think of anything this morning that's too hard for God? Can you imagine? Can you conceive, perceive of anything in the realm of impossibility with God Almighty? You can't think of a thing. Impossibility is not in the vocabulary of God. It's not under His rule. Impossibility. Behold, I'm the Lord. I'm the God of all flesh. This God I'm talking about is the God that every man will have to do. Every man has got somehow to face Him. Every man. Every one of us this morning here. Men, women, boys, and girls. Got to face Him. Got to face Him either in time or face Him in eternity. He's the God of all flesh. You got to render unto Him what He demands. And He demands your perfection. And you ain't got it. But my soul, it can be had in God's Son. Perfection. Perfect conformity to His law can be found in Him. Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent to save desperate, loathsome sinners like you and I. Huh? Anything too hard for God? He can't save you. Yes, He can save you. He can save you or He can damn you. I'll tell you this. He's the God of all flesh, and He can do with you as it pleases Him. He can save you or He can damn you. He can leave you go. He don't have to do anything to you. Just leave you go. Leave you go like you're going. See? Even old Zach knows what I'm talking about. He knows. God help us. Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Anything too hard for me? And then he goes on. And he tells Jeremiah here. He said, I know you made this bargain, sealed this bargain. You took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. I know you done all that. But he said, I'm going to give this city into the hands of the Chaldeans. Into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he'll take it. I'll do that. I'm the God of all flesh. I do as I please. I do according to my good pleasure. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses. Upon those roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. Judgment's going to fall upon the house of Israel. But I'm going to tell you this. Judgment's going to fall upon the United States of America too. Judgment's going to fall, boy. There's never been, under the economy of God, a country, a nation gets by. God always brings about judgment. As He brought about judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, He's going to bring about judgment in the United States of America. Oh, how far off from God this nation is. Huh? We just elected a president of the United States. President of the United States who had been proven a womanizer and draft dodger. And we elected him. We elected him. Appointed homosexuals to be in his cabinet. And we elected him. We voted for him. Headed towards socialism. No respect for God. God out of the schools. God out of this. God out of that. Judgment's going to fall upon us. You say, well, I thought you believed that whoever's president of the United States, God determined that he'd be president. That's right. I believe that. Whoever winds up in that office will be there because it was in God's time, in God's purpose. But God always, at times, not always, but God at times give people what they want. And that's what we want. And judgment's going to fall. Well, offered incense unto Baal and poured out drinks of offering unto God to provoke me to anger. And for the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel hath only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and my fury from the day they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it before my face. Behold, of all the evil of the children of Israel, the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, and the men of Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. They have built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning this city, whereof you say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine, by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I'll cause them to dwell there safely. They shall be my people, and I'll be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, and they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I promised them. The field shall be brought in this land whereof ye say it is desolate, without man or beast. It's given into the hands of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the hand of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and then the cities of Judea, the cities of the mountains and the cities of the valley, and the cities of the south. And I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. I'll give it to them, but I'll restore it and reclaim it and give it back. Oh, the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of glory. Nothing too hard for God. Let us trust Him and praise Him and honor Him by committing our souls to Him. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Oh, please remember that. Nothing is too hard for God. You can't think of anything that can hinder Him in doing as He desires. Nothing, nothing is too hard. He can save your mother and your father. He can save your wives and your husband. He can save your children. What He can do for you, He can do for me. He can save my loved ones, my children and grandchildren. He can do it. Nothing is too hard for Him. Seek His face. Seek His face. Join with me in seeking the face of God on behalf of those that we preach to, those that we love, those that are far off from God. God can bring them back. God can go where they are. He's not limited. He can go there at an instant. And He can work a work in them. And He can draw them unto Himself. And He can give them repentance. He can give them faith. He can give them grace. He can turn them. And if He turns them, they shall be turned. Let's pray to that end. Let's pray to that end. Well, the Lord bless us.